To hear the full episode, become a patron at patreon.com/deathpanelpod.
Welcome to the Death Panel. Patrons, thank you so much for supporting the show. We could not do any of this without you. If you'd like to help us out a little bit more, share the show with your friends, post about your favorite episodes, pick up copies of Health Communism and A Short History of Transmisogyny at your local bookstore, or request them at your local library, and follow us at deathpanel_. I'm Beatrice Adler-Bolton, and I am here today with my co-host, Abby Cardis.
Hello.
And today, the two of us are going to be stepping into Abby's area of expertise to talk about data and knowledge production. Specifically, we're going to be talking about death during and after pregnancy and how that's counted. Now, you might have heard that 2021 was a record year in the United States for deaths during and after pregnancy, and recently, there has been some controversy and debate around the way that the CDC counts these deaths. So you might have seen reporting or discussion of what's called the maternal mortality rate being in crisis in the United States. We've covered this on the show in the past. And according to CDC data, there are 32 deaths in pregnant people for every 100,000 live births, which is a rate of risk that is on average 10 times higher than the rate reported by other global north countries like Canada, France, the UK, et cetera. You may have seen reporting that this risk is exponentially higher for Black, Brown, and Indigenous people, or that the rate of maternal mortality has been steadily increasing. And now we've sort of talked about a lot of this on the show before, as I've said, but we're actually getting a chance to revisit all of these aspects of this today because this recent study that came out that calls this counting into question has received a lot of attention in the media. And that study critiques the CDC's method of counting, alleging that the CDC is overcounting these deaths due to a checkbox system that was first implemented in 2003. And this back and forth over what is being counted and how that measurement is communicated is this great occasion, actually, for us to sit down and talk about really what's at the core here, which is that data doesn't speak for itself. And as some of you listening now may know, Abby is an epidemiologist. And surprise.
Unfortunately.
And her focus specifically is the epidemiology of what is called perinatal mortality, meaning deaths before, during, and after pregnancy. And this is part of what makes Abby such an astute and precise thinker regarding COVID, which is especially dangerous for pregnant people. Mm-hmm. But beyond the sort of direct connections, Abby's background in the study of how we count death and sickness around pregnancy, how that data is collected, narrated, presented, weighted, and then how that comes to shape knowledges of risk, how that interfaces with policy, law, government, and of course, then shapes culture and our material experiences of it. You know, Abby really has to understand how this data is made to speak to do perinatal epidemiology. And, you know, as we'll be discussing today, when it comes to discussion of death and pregnancy or COVID, it's especially important to think critically about what is being counted, how, what is being actually debated over in this sort of claim of overcounting versus undercounting, right? And also in the sort of broader context of conservative state level attacks and federal attacks on right to abortion. And later this week, we'll be covering the Mifepristone case that's before the Supreme Court. The oral arguments for that are taking place tomorrow. And so I think ways, I know. This will also add a lot of depth and context to whatever comes out of that, which, of course, we'll be covering later this week. You know, that's just one reason I'm glad we're talking about it today, as I've hinted at. The other reason is that, frankly, I think this whole thing that we're about to talk about is also something that teaches us or reminds us of something very necessary to think about COVID data and the role that it plays in the ongoing denial of the pandemic. But before we get into any of this broader sort of discussion, these broader implications, I want to just make sure that we're setting the stage here and laying some groundwork. So let's talk about this study. Let's, you know, get into what the claim is about how the CDC counts what it counts when it comes to death and pregnancy in the US, and then how it compares itself to other countries. Mm-hmm. The study was published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology and is called Maternal mortality in the United States are the high and rising rates due to changes in obstetrical factors, maternal medical conditions, or maternal mortality surveillance. This has gotten a ton of media attention, as I've said, with headlines like, how bad is maternal mortality in the U.S.? A new study says it's been overestimated. That's NPR. Or study, CDC maternal death rate overstated. That one's Politico, just to give two examples. So with all that aside, Abby, I just want to make sure that folks with no context on this can come out of this episode with a real clear picture of what is going on. And with that in mind, can you walk through, like, what the study is claiming in plain terms, what your read is about this whole thing, basically what is going on here from really the most top line perspective? Because it's kind of confusing.
Yeah. Oh, it's super confusing. And I think this is going to open up to like a very interesting discussion. But even in order to talk about the study as kind of an intervention in this ongoing literature, you know, and to talk about the study itself, we have to set it up with some things that are, you know, pretty boring and detailed. So I'm going to do my best to make it kind of short and engaging. But the thing to understand is that the United States, now it is not rocket science to count these perinatal deaths. Just for example, the UK has like a prospective surveillance system where they count these deaths and it enables them to kind of investigate these deaths as they happen. And that system is very successful. Not so in the United States. Not surprisingly, the US really struggles to count these deaths accurately, has struggled for a very long time. And the reasons for that are sort of multifactorial, but basically it comes down to it's not really a priority for anyone. You know, like it is just not... not a priority for HHS, like it's not, you know, all of these things. So the context for this, first of all, it's important to understand how death reporting happens in the United States. So death reporting happens at the state level. What happens is a person dies, someone, you know, a physician, a coroner, something like that, fills out a death certificate. All those death certificates from the state, you know, all the jurisdictions within a state go to the state vital statistics office. And then the state transmits them up to what's called the National Vital Statistics System, or NVSS. So death reporting happens at really at kind of like the local level, then it's aggregated to the state level, and then it becomes national. Mm-hmm. And death reporting relies on these death certificates, you know, that are filled out at the hyperlocal level by all of these different people that fill out death certificates. Now, it was known in like the 80s and the 90s, it was known, you know, pretty well known that the NVSS, the National Vital Statistics System, was severely undercounting these perinatal deaths. Like it was not doing a good job at all of catching deaths that are happening around pregnancy, which is bad. You know, there are many, many reasons from a public health, from a clinical perspective, why, you know, we want to have something resembling an accurate count of perinatal deaths. But in the 80s and 90s, NVSS was really undercounting them. There was an attempt to fix this with the introduction of a new, like a revised U.S. standard death certificate in 2003. And this death certificate had what is called the pregnancy checkbox. Okay, so the point of this is that if someone dies, whoever is filling out the death certificate is supposed to check the pregnancy checkbox if the person who died was pregnant at the time of death, or I think it's like within 42 days of death, because 42 days is kind of the arbitrary time frame that we use post-delivery. That's like how we artificially sort of bracket the postpartum period. So this new death certificate came out in 2003. But then from 2003 to 2017, different states started using this death certificate at different times. So from 2003 to 2017, the United States fully could not report a national rate of perinatal or like pregnancy-related deaths, which is bonkers. Like that is just, that still blows my mind to think about how we just did not have the capability to do that for over 10 years because of our system of death reporting. Starting in 2018, the United States, now all states have adopted this death certificate with the pregnancy checkbox, and this is how all states do it now. So now NVSS, the National Vital Statistics System, can calculate a rate for the whole country. You know, it can take all these death certificates because they're, you know, states are all using the same ones. Theoretically, they're being filled out, you know, in the same ways. So starting in 2018, the country has been able to report a national perinatal mortality rate. And things are fucking ugly in there. Like, it is not good. I think in 2018, the national rate that was reported, the way that we report these types of deaths is deaths per 100,000 live births, generally. That's just kind of the standard way of doing it. So the rate in 2018 was 17.4 deaths per 100,000 live births, which is high. Like, that is really, really high. So for context, some other countries like the UK, which I mentioned, their rate of perinatal mortality is something on the order of like 7 or 8 deaths per 100,000 live births. And they're not even one of the best countries out there.
Australia is like 2.
Yeah, like Japan, South Korea. Yeah, the Nordic countries have like 2 to 4 per 100,000 live births. So, you know, 17 is really, really high. And I don't have the figures right in front of me, but as many people have probably heard, if you've heard anything on the news about this, you know that that overall rate masks some pretty severe inequalities, markedly inequalities by age, but also and most particularly by race and ethnicity. Black and Indigenous women have rates that are typically much, much higher.
I have that. Actually, I pulled it from my notes just to give some numbers to the what Abby's saying. So at the top, I named that the 2021 CDC numbers gave like an average of 32 deaths per 100,000 live births. Now, if you break that out, the rate for Black people is 55.3 and the rate for White people is 19.1. So, you know, like the 32 is like is the average of all that aggregate together.
So the figure, the thing I was looking at actually has an even higher rate.
This one was the Commonwealth Fund's 2022 analysis that I was reading.
That's interesting. So a big part of the setup for this paper that we're discussing, this paper in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology, which I'm just going to call AJOG from here on out because it's like too much to say. The setup for this paper is that NVSS has documented that the national perinatal mortality rate has basically doubled between 2018 and 2021. 17.4 deaths per 100,000 in 2018 to basically 33 per 100,000 in 2021. And the thing that I was reading, I was reading some like CDC document that might be a few years older, but in terms of the racial and ethnic disparities, the rate in the document that I was reading for 2021 among Black people was 70 deaths per 100,000 live births, which is astoundingly high.
Bottom line is it's really bad.
It's really, really high. And I mean, COVID, it appears, I was getting a little hung up with what you were saying about the years because COVID definitely contributed to this. And it seems like 2021 was maybe kind of like a peak year. The provisional estimates that are starting to come in for 2022 show these rates coming down a little bit, which really, I think, I mean, not a lot. You know, they're still really high because population health is bad in the United States. But it seems very clear at this point that COVID was a major contributor to this kind of spike in this death rate. So in this study that we're talking about, the authors they're kind of taking this like, okay, NVSS, you know, the way that we count deaths, like the NVSS has documented basically almost a doubling of the perinatal mortality rate in just these few years. And they are kind of like, well, what's going on here? And one of the things that they, you know, I want to say more about how they frame this paper a little bit later on, but it's very interesting to me how they frame it because they're like, okay, well, there are basically three things that could be going on leading to, you know, this trend that we're seeing of increased perinatal mortality. Number one, it could be that, you know, the health of birthing people is just like getting worse, you know, is like deteriorating in general. Number two, it could have something to do with what they call obstetrical factors, which I think are things related to like the healthcare system and like healthcare delivery. And three, they posit, well, could it just be because of the surveillance methods. So what that means is that, you know, one of their three hypotheses for what could be going on with this increased rate that we're observing is that the increase is just an artifact of the way that we count these deaths. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, they're setting this paper up to, they're setting it up as if this is their research question, like, oh, we're going to investigate all of these three things. But really all that they're investigating is the surveillance method, the method of counting.
Well, and I mean, it's funny also, longtime listeners of the show may remember a conversation from December of 2021, where you and I discussed the very same sort of question, right? Which is that there is this reported increase. Some people say it's due to X, some people say due to Y, you know, what the fuck is going on, right? Yeah. And in that one, we actually discussed like all of the different scenarios, including like the private insurance system and all these other layered topics. And it's so funny because it's, you know, like podcasts are not known for being rigorous and peer-reviewed studies are. And it's funny to contrast, you know, their investigation and like just this kind of casual conversation that you and I had years ago now that is way more comprehensively attempting to answer those questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so basically, you know, what's kind of underlying this question that they're asking about, like, oh, is it an artifact of the surveillance method? I kind of understand where they're coming from with this, because the use of the pregnancy checkbox is known to overcount perinatal deaths. There are a lot of different reasons for this, and the reasons can kind of vary from place to place. It was very famous. I think it was maybe about 10 years ago at this point, even a little bit more, that like Texas adopted the new death certificates with the checkbox, and like their perinatal mortality rate doubled in a year or something. And it was completely not, you know, it increased in a way that was completely not believable. And then subsequent investigations revealed that it was like issues with, you know, the checkbox. Like a lot of people were getting positive checkboxes for various reasons when, you know, they shouldn't have had them. So it is known, you know what I mean? Like, we know that with the checkbox, we are like overcounting, but the checkbox was intended to remedy, you know, severe, severe undercounting in the NVSS beforehand. So the author, the way they kind of go about this is they basically compare two different methods of counting. They use the NVSS method using like the checkbox only, you know, so they count perinatal deaths first, you know, just kind of using people who had a positive checkbox on the death certificate, regardless of anything else. And this, you know, this is known to overcount. We know that. Then the other method that they use to compare with it is a method that they kind of came up with on their own, which is that, you know, something is only counted as a perinatal death if pregnancy is indicated somewhere on the death certificate as an underlying cause of death. And this is known to undercount. So the authors basically used one method that's known to overcount, one method that is known to undercount. And because the one that undercounts delivered like a lower count for them, they were like, well, this reported increase is not real. And, you know, it only reflects changes in how we're doing the surveillance of this. Now,
to hear the full episode, become a patron at patreon.com/deathpanelpod. You'll get access to this and the rest of our catalog of patron-only episodes, and be the first to get a new patron episode every Monday when it drops. With love, the Death Panel.